How's everything?
Groovy.
Yeah. No, thanks.
You here for some acid?
Yeah, I guess so.
Why?
What?
Why are you taking acid?
What are you doing, a paper?
Curiosity.
Oh, me too. No insight. I really think that I'll find out something about myself.
Can I come?
Wow. I don't know.
I've got this whole thing going with people on acid. I just like what happens, you know?
Yeah?
They're groovy people.
Well, that's nice, but... You ready to go, man?
Designed to produce
I'll be right
psychedelic
there. Come on,
experience
I'll see you.
By the use of light, color, and sound. take LSD and then look at your house. You will see that someone from another planet would see. But you are living in the home of an insane robot. Slowly and planfully, you begin to change your house, the dance of sound waves, so that it becomes an external representation of the beauties you are discovering within yourself. Sound waves. As you continue to listen to the wisdom of yourself and to the direct energy explosions on your nerve endings, you will find yourself. Find yourself moving out of stereotype routine, moving out of cities, moving away from repetitious, tribally imposed sequences. You will find yourself slowly dropping out.
Once they have been found uninteresting from a pharmacological aspect, as a rule, they're definitely stricken from the research program.
They have good and bad uses.
In the spring of 1943, I repeated the synthesis of LSD-25.
Whenever this question would come up in a seminar or during a panel discussion, I'd place special emphasis on the word psychotomimetic. The word has been used quite a bit today. A term that is usually used by the scientific community when they wish to speak about the psychedelic drug. The term psychedelic does not find a good audience in the psychiatric or in the chemical or in the medical literature. It carries a meta-message of drug use, drug encouragement, drug proselytizing. And as a result, the word's not often encountered.
This involves having to process production of only a few centigrams of this compound. In the final step of the synthesis, during the purification and crystallization of lysergic acid diethylamide, in the form of a tartrate, that is the salt of this tartaric acid, I was interrupted in my work by unusual sensations.
Of course, on reflection, it seemed that this metaphor omitted a whole lot about consciousness, really.
Is that being a long-term user of psychedelics, I've tended to develop an interest in some of the more exotic psychedelics, DMT, ketamine, 2CB, ayahuasca, and the harmonic alkaloids. And with substances of this type, there's a precious small amount of literature out there, and very little to no first-hand information from people who have experimented with, done these things, are able to talk about dosage levels, methods of using the drugs, and what they will experience.
I take the description of this incident from the report that I wrote at the time to Professor Stone.
In the 20s and 1930s, both worlds, that of the physical sciences involving radiation and that of the psychopharmacological sciences involving psychotropic materials, continued to develop without any clear sense of polarity. Without
diagrams of interacting particles, and I have one out won't go through this whole analysis. I have this whole book and
there's a whole other set of drugs that this society doesn't seem to, it doesn't bother them. People are addicted to them. For example, caffeine, your example of caffeine is a good one. Another example is cigarettes, nicotine, where there's an anti-smoking movement. But really, when you look at the reaction to smoking cigarettes versus, say, smoking marijuana, which is not addictive, you get a very different tenor.
Of forgiveness onto my being, healing me on every level, psychically, physically, emotionally. And I realize that our true nature is spirit, not body, that we are eternal beings, and God's love is unconditional. There's nothing we can ever do to change that. It is only our illusion that we are separate from God or that we are alone. In fact, the reality is now, if that isn't a hazard to this country.
This is DJ Bennett, and tonight we're saluting with great love and affection the wonderful Albert Hoffman, the discoverer of LSD, the man who has changed the subjective experience of the universe for an entire generation and more. Albert Hoffman didn't mean for it to happen, but he appreciated what it was, and he knew that things were different. Now, they're going to always tell you, the straight people are always going to tell you that it's just an illusion, it's just a delusion, that it's just wrong. But you know different. That's why you're listening, right? You like the picture of Albert that I put up there.
Which I'm about to put up.
And this is Kill Radio in Los Angeles. This is what Kill Radio is here for, folks. To spread the news. To be one for you all. Here with the Acid Mothers Temple and with Bill Hicks and with Albert Hoffman and with all the music and everything. The Beatles, everything at our disposal. Everything at our fingertips. The cosmic. Welcome to the chill room.
Usually when this is discussed, the usual argument is You know, we live in a very complex world. We have television, we have books, we have many movies and so on. And we know that the brain records everything that comes in. So
we're heading west, as you know, and being notified is on the watch.
We have just stored enormous amount of information.
No one can buy the Pacific Ocean yet.
With this fantastic ability of recombination. We have fabricated these
things.
It doesn't satisfy me. Doesn't satisfy me as an explanatory principle for all the things that I have seen.
Yes, are we the victims of an ambush?
What we've now called
like
crap
an
baby.
Electron jumping to another ring, moving around, or is this some kind of quantum leap that just not ordinarily accessible?
That's a good. So I don't have anything against the chemical substances, they're not able to do the job. Good analogy, it's like a quantum leap in consciousness.
Just simply poverty babies, they exhibit the same symptoms.
Some of the tools that are available, or rather that have been available, are the widely publicized drugs of psychopharmacology, such as mescaline, psilocybin, DOM.
awareness or perspective is enlarged. It goes outside of the boundary that they normally consider to be themselves.
I'll talk about ayahuasca and laying down after a great ceremony for 45 minutes of preparation and drumming with the shaman and all eight of us laying down in our feather beds and 45 minutes, nothing happening, and then suddenly I discovered I had to brace myself and took off, just flying through the multicolored universe, these huge exploding fans of light and color just bursting all around me. And looking over, I was cruising along through the cosmos with some of the other people in the room. We were shaped like different animals and really smiling. It was very calming to know that I was cruising along with them. And soon after the initial burst, I don't know if it was a half hour or 10 minutes, I started having a series of visions. Different characters would join me, and the best part of all was I looked over. I was on top of a green grassy knoll, and there I was sitting next to myself. And I just reached out and held my own hand, and I knew that everything was going to be safe, even though my heart was beating so much. And at one point, just making love with Gaia, this beautiful, dripping Gaia, orifice of love, and just continually meeting different entities until finally seven pixies were on top of the roof looking down at me smiling. I knew everything was really fine. He carried me through the rest of my journey. So,
okay, so I'm, I think it's about 1985, and I'm with a buddy of mine who ended up going to the Gulf War as a Marine after this. But we're on Hay Street, and we're looking to score some buds and doses, and we did. There was some really cool hippie, bless his heart. He gave us some really nice stuff. It was all cool and everything. We got some little grass and some little acid. And you know, we cruised into the we dosed the acid, and I guess about 30 minutes later we cruised into the park. And we were on the Haight-Ashbury side of the park, so it took about 15 minutes to get to the Japanese tea gardens. And around the Japanese tea gardens there are these moss-covered pools. It was a summer, sort of an overcast summertime day. And I noticed that one of the pools wasn't a pool at all. It was made of green concrete. And whole crowd of people standing around this big, large area of green concrete. There was these rocks surrounding the green concrete. And I thought, you know, I feel great. It would be really cool if I just ran on one of those rocks and jumped off and leapt into the air and landed on the concrete. So I ran up, jumped off, and I leapt into the air, and it was going in slow motion. The sun was shining. I was flying through the air, and I came down, and my foot touched the green concrete. And it broke open, and it wasn't green concrete at all, but it was moss and water. And I retracted and recoiled, but I couldn't stop gravity, and I splashed into the middle of the water. And I came up coughing.
I feel like a lost and alone on the merry-go-round. Where did I go wrong? How far am I from me? Dreaming, river up to river.
total of all diverse festivities of the carnival type. One recalls the manner in which carnival, in its most general form, is defined as syncretic pageantry of a ritualistic sort, producing variants and nuances that vary with period and with differences of cultic origin and individual festivity. Carnival has worked out an entire language of symbolic, concretely sensuous forms, from large and complex mass actions to individual gestures. As theatrical representation, it abolishes the dividing line between performers and spectators, since everyone becomes an active participant, and everyone communes in the carnival act, which is neither contemplated nor, strictly speaking, performed. It is lived. Within this life, several particular modalities are distinguished. Those of especial relevance are abolition of distance and establishment of free and familiar contact and exchange, eccentricity, profanation. In carnival, behavior and discourse are unmoored, as it were, freed from the bonds of the social formation. Thus, in carnival, age, social status, rank, property lose their powers, have no place. Familiarity of exchange is heightened. Carnival brings together, unifies, weds, and combines the sacred with the profane, the great with the insignificant, the wise with the stupid, and of course, the high with the low. And since in carnival, parodistic images parody one another variously and from varying points of view, Roman parody is described as resembling an entire system of crooked mirrors, elongating, diminishing, distorting in various directions and to various degrees. We may say that the tinfoiled studio literalized this practice. More than that, it is revising the notion of the Gesamtkunstwerk, displacing it, redefining it as site of production, and recasting it in the mode of carnival, thereby generating for our time the most trenchant articulation of relation between cultures high and low. In the